This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. And again, greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in, and we trust that the program blesses you, encourages you, and maybe even challenges you. Now, for those of you who would like to contact me, again, go to my website, bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com. There's an email address there or a postal address that you can use, and the program can be re-listened to there, and there's quite a little other information on that website that I hope you'll find helpful. I've tried to make most of it downloadable so that you can download it if you'd like to print it out. Now, this program can then be re-listened to there, and you can reach me the old-fashioned way at Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849, 50849. Now, as you know, we've been looking at different ways in which the Lord is presented to us in the Bible. We've noted that in the Old Testament, He is often presented to us in a poetic or metaphor, as a metaphor. There's pictures of Him, and there's direct prophecies connected with Him. But in the Old Testament, the Lord is coming, and in the New Testament, He has come, and He is coming again. Now, one of the things that we noted as we began to look at the Lord was that He is called Jehovah or Yahweh. Don't ask me to explain how those two names are the same, but apparently they're two ways of translating the same word in the Jewish language, from the Jewish language at least to the English language. Jehovah or Yahweh, which really means the one who is and who was and who is to come. He's the ever-existing one, the I Am. And we don't understand that because we don't understand eternity, but the Lord always was, and He is, and He always will be. And in Revelation, that's what we read. He is the one who is, and who was, and who is to come. And with that in mind, then, when we come into John's Gospel, a Gospel that was written really for the world, not just for the Jewish people, but for the world. Remember, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So when we look at the Gospel of John, we're looking at an explanation of who the Lord is from the standpoint of the world. And we've noted that He has told us that He's the Word, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. But as we go through the Gospel of John, we find this concept of the ever-existing One being presented to us over and over again. And often the word I Am is associated with some adjective, and because it's associated with some adjective, we lose sight of the fact that these seven I Am's are really takeoffs on the fact that the Lord is the ever-existing One. And so there's seven ways in which the Lord is looked at as the I Am. First of all, we find out He says in John 6 and 35, I am the bread of life. And as bread, He sustains physical life. So Christ offers and sustains spiritual life, just as He sustained physical life in the Old Testament. He sustains spiritual life in the New. Then we read in John 8 and verse 12, I am the light of the world. And so to a world lost in darkness, Christ offers Himself as a guide. But more than that, He offers Himself as a way out of darkness into the light. We know that by nature, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And that's why the Lord ultimately died on a cross. But He is the light of the world. And then we find out in John 10 and verse 7 that He's the door. I am the door of the sheep. Jesus protects His followers as shepherds, and He protects His flocks from predators. And we read in John 10, I am the door. By Me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And so there's only one way of salvation, and it's through that door. And the fourth way in which we read about the Lord being the I Am is in John 11 and verse 25, having to do with the death of Lazarus and his ultimate resurrection. And the Lord tells Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Death is not the final word for those in Christ. And then in John chapter 10, again, we find out that the Lord is the good shepherd. And he's committed to caring and watching over those that are his. I guess John 10 would have come before John 11. You'll have to forgive me for that. So John 10, I'm the good shepherd. John 11, I am the resurrection and the life. And then we come again to John chapter 14, that beautiful chapter where the Lord says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And in that chapter, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the source of all truth and knowledge about God. And we come to John 15, and he tells us that I am the true vine. And so the vine is really the source of life for the branches. And one branch was Israel, and one branch is the Gentiles, but also each one of us, when we are saved, become a part of that vine. So by attaching ourselves by faith to Christ, we enable his life to flow in and through us. Then we cannot help but bear fruit that will honor the Father. So if we're in the vine, and without me, it says in that chapter, you can do nothing if you're in the vine, then you're going to be a fruit bearer. You won't get to heaven based on your works, but once you are saved, your works will likely honor the Lord Jesus, because that will be your desire as part of the vine. But I want to come back and spend a little time today on this statement where the Lord says in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, I have a lot of people that argue with me about this, and they'll tell me that there are other religions that honor the Lord Jesus, and that they really believe in the same God we believe in. But pure and simply, the attitude that we have toward the Lord is very clearly the crux of whether or not we're a Christian or not. If ye believe not, John 8 says, if ye believe not that I am, ye shall die in your sins. And so any religion that says that the Lord is a good man, any religion that says that he's only a man, any religion that does not honor the truth that he is God made known in the flesh, any religion that does not honor his death, his burial, and his resurrection, they may claim to honor the Lord Jesus, but as far as God is concerned, they do not. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And you'll notice that when we read that, we're reading about a definite article. The way, not a way. The truth, not a truth. And the life, not a life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's a definite statement that the way to God, the way to be reconciled to God and to know his joy, his salvation and his fellowship is to come through the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you're wondering, can a person really be saved? The truth is that Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, but perhaps for good men some would even dare to die. But God commends or offers his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that's not a truth, that's the truth. It's the only way to be saved and the only way to know your sins are forgiven. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So we come through the Lord Jesus. He guides us into all truth. Actually, it's the Holy Spirit that guides us into all truth, and that truth always leads to a way in which Christ needs to be explained or glorified. And so we need to recognize that the crux of the matter is, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? That question was asked of Peter, and Peter says in Matthew 16, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so the Lord gives us the truth. We have that truth in the Bible. And I know that many people look at the Bible as having problems with its age and with the way in which it's been translated, and some would say that it's not reliable. I've read the Bible for many years, and I realize there are a few problems with translation, and there are a few problems in determining whether certain sections were copied properly. We understand that, but the Bible, taken in its context, is totally reliable, and the original manuscripts were inspired by God. And we've got the Word of God in our hands. We've got a letter from God that tells us about our relationship with God, how sin came into the world, and how death passed upon all men because all have sinned. We've got that truth in our hands, and we've been told now that Christ is the Savior of sinners, and we need to believe in Him, trust in Him, and that is the way to be reconciled to God. It's not a way, but the way to be reconciled to God. And yet when we preach these things, we know that Satan is the father of lies. And he doesn't care which lie you believe as long as you don't believe the truth. His first lie was found in the Garden of Eden. God had said that if they ate of the forbidden fruit, they would die. And he comes back and presents a question mark in the mind of Eve. He says, "Ye shall not surely die." And of course they did surely die. It wasn't immediate physically. It was immediate from a spiritual standpoint, because their fellowship with God was broken the moment they sinned. One sin was all it took to break fellowship with God, but it was because of a lie, and it was a lie that was kind of configured in such a way that it was a partial truth. "You shall not surely die immediately." And that would be true from a physical standpoint, but it wasn't true from a spiritual standpoint. And they did die, and we die. And so we need to remember that the truth is found in the Bible. And when we say we're saved, we're depending on the truth and the promises of Scripture concerning the I Am of the Old Testament and of the New, that ever-existing one. And so we read, for example, from 1 Peter chapter 2, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth." In other words, the Lord has never lied to us. "Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously." Now listen to this. "Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." And that's the truth. Our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon this program, upon all that has been said that is of thyself, and we pray that you'll bless our listeners as we give thanks in our Savior's name. Amen.